Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 17th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It is a really beautiful morning, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I guess the next couple of days, it's supposed to feel like it's the end of spring. Imagine that.
There you go.
All right, Winston, why do
Another
we say
day in paradise.
Yes.
Ringing the bell. Why do we say a success rings the bell?
Rings the bell. A bell ringer.
Ring the bell. Why is it? I don't know. Maybe,
School's out.
School's out. Lunchtime.
Yeah. How about that?
No.
Like a dinner bell.
It involves county fairs. There is a strength testing machine, which is operated by hitting a block with a sledge.
Right.
This operates an arm of wood, which sends a weight up a wire. If you hit it hard enough, the weight will go to the top of the device and ring a bell. The usual prize for this achievement is a cigar.
Ah. Okay. That was like, we didn't have to think too hard about that one, but we overthought it. And people didn't think
Definitely.
I could do that. Overthink something. Oh, boy. So it's got to be kind of an interesting situation that the county is in, considering what the governor attempted to do on Monday and what the legislature then did in response to that. What's kind of the sense and the feeling that the county has got, Mike, about the budget, the status, and the reliability of what you guys are contemplating?
Well, I mean, you know, we're in our budget process currently, so that is an interesting time, and especially when revenues are changing dramatically. And so, you know, we're asking all departments to figure out ways to inch it up, you know, and figure out even more than they already do to anticipate these shortfalls. We don't see too much yet hammer coming down, except for maybe in some of the social services and those sorts of things at the state level. Those are definitely going to be impacted. And I assume that you know, we'll see cuts at all levels from the feds and the state. So it's not going to be easy times, if that's what you're asking. And it's definitely volatile in terms of the numbers.
With the situation like you guys are being confronted with, does that accelerate the discussion about consolidated dispatch and some of the other programs that are being contemplated, or does that put that on the side because it's too many moving parts?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you're doing all the planning work, everything takes resources to planning, right? And so usually it's just cutting. It's not really... You know, when you're in the zone of these, you know, reductions, you're just reducing. In terms of like long-term planning, we do have some, you know, some of those efforts are still continuing with you know, certainly with public safety and other elements. But I would say we're looking at reductions. Although I have, you know, right now, we don't have the numbers in yet. I mean, we're just predicting that we'll see these reductions. We actually haven't, those, as you know, budgets and these things are, they're projections and they're kind of moving targets, and we don't get the data in until sometime after. So right now we're just predicting that we're going to see cuts. We have seen that revenues in certain segments are definitely dropping, and so we're predicting right now at least a $6 million cut in our budget currently. But understanding that our budget's a, you know, over $400 million enterprise annually, so you know, we're not going to collapse and fall off the edge into the sea or anything like that. But certainly, we're going to see some tightening.
The $6 million, is that across the board, or is that just out of the general fund area?
That's just a reduction in revenue currently.
Okay.
So that's the prediction. So we do have reserves, but we do want to maintain those reserves as much as possible. But we will be dipping into those reserves. I think we're already estimating at least $1 million or more that we'll be getting into those reserves in this next budget cycle, and it's not unlikely that could rise.
Now, a percentage of the sales tax generated within the county returns to the county. Is there any provision, anything that's being discussed that would accelerate the reporting periods so that rather than on a quarterly or a biannual basis, you guys would be able to kind of monitor things on a monthly basis to anticipate the impact as it goes through the cycle?
That's what we're doing. I mean, we are receiving that information. It's just that then when you're doing cycling that all through, you know, there's iterative process of cycling that through departments and getting their changes. And even just the budget process is not an immediate, you know, it's just not something that happens on a dime. You know, it's like the big ship moving in a direction. So that momentum is what it is, because there's some programs that are already, I mean, many of our programs are already, they're mandated, right, from the state, and they're funded by the state, and that funding has already been allocated and moving forward. And so the adjustments that we're making on the fly are, you know, only a percentage of that in terms of how that's moving forward. But still, it's not insignificant. Even when in a department, you know, every department's offering services to the community, even if they don't adjust for inflation, it'll have impacts in terms of service. So we will see reductions in service, I imagine, in the near future. But in terms of like on the dime, like we're just shutting off the spigot, that's a little harder to do in an institution of this size.
Yeah, I guess I may not have been clear. I was saying into the future, let's say for the next year, if you were going to be getting more current tax information from the county, you know, from the local jurisdictions, so you can anticipate what is going to be.
That's what's happening right now.
Okay.
Those numbers are coming in, and that's exactly what's occurring. So if you've been there, any of the audience has been watching our budget process, or listening in, because you can't go there live, but you can definitely listen in, and you can definitely watch it on the TV, and now we have these Zoom meetings. We're taking in that information, and that is basically what's being used to make these predictions.
Perfect. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll
good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Mike, with some of the budget challenges that are going on and supply challenges also in certain sectors, what is going, has there been an impact? Are the jobs continuing to get done in the whole arena around the ADA and the lawsuit and the judge's edict? Is that all continuing to percolate through this period?
Yes. I mean, we don't have a consent decree anymore based on our good faith efforts to get a lot of those things done. And if your audience is familiar, the county some years ago had a consent decree from the federal government to really update all of our facilities related to our Americans with Disability Act requirements. And that, you know, that was a $17 million enterprise, and we've definitely invested millions into that. And there really is no external funding to help make that happen other than, you know, our own coffers. And so we've been doing the work, and that work will continue for sure. And it's just one of those things. I mean, we do anticipate some more negotiations with the with the feds on this in terms of hopefully, you know, being able to moderate our spending on that sector at the moment, because we're just in an emergency situation. But it is continuing, and there, you know, there's just stuff still in the pipeline. So that is definitely still happening, for sure. And again, we talked about our budget. You know, luckily for Humboldt County, we have a fairly diverse economy for a rural economy. And so where we're taking hits, it really does look like we're probably not going to take as harsh or as dramatic of a hit as some other sectors. I mean, some rural counties really are not as diverse economically, and their highs and lows are quite dramatic, and at a low time it's going to be really hard. And we also, you know, because we're somewhat tethered to the Bay Area in terms of our economy, you know, we get pushes and pulls from that space too. And if we look at even in the real estate market, understand that now real estate, you know, people are wanting to leave the Bay Area more, and especially as people are understanding that maybe they don't have to work in an office as much, that it's becoming more popular to find nice rural places to live, and so that impacts our real estate industry. And as we've seen in the past, when everything goes really well, say in the Bay Area, people want to invest and buy in our real estate, and when everything drops, they want to escape. And so we're buffered in that way. And with that, you know, people bring business. They're capital refugees, I guess you'd say, people, equity migrants, and they definitely bring business to the community, and so there's we like I said, it's not as hard as for Humboldt County as other places. It's still going to be a challenge for sure, and we have some businesses that are really, really, really suffering, and families, and it's not to diminish the pain that we're having, but a bit thankful that we have the diversity that we have, for sure.
With the equity immigrant occurring or coming to the area, do we have the infrastructure in place to be able to handle that? I'm thinking of the internet and some of the issues that we've had, you know, the robustness of that opportunity, the planning for additional development, or streamlining the permitting process if there's either new construction or remodeling, things of that nature. Are we ready to be accommodating to these folks?
Well, certainly the internet has been an issue, as we all know. We've all experienced it. It is getting better all the time, getting the redundant lines in now. There's a pretty serious talk of bringing in another line, an Asia, Pacific, Asian, Trans-Pacific line, communication line to come to Humboldt Bay, because we're a good spot for that. And that could definitely bring more connectivity, very important. We're seeing our building starts increasing, for sure. We're seeing, especially with the accessory dwelling unit regulations, making it allowable for second units, more allowable for second units. That's basically a state law that is pushing that, so that we are seeing an increase in those. We're seeing an increase in multifamily housing in Arcata and dramatically, and then also in Eureka's got a few projects happening as well, which takes a lot of pressure off of the single family dwelling. So we are seeing an upward clip. It's not where it needs to be, for sure, and some of our limitations is really in resources of having people, you know, the bodies to build and the bodies to design and engineer. That's also a limitation as well, but people are taking advantage quite a bit of what properties are available.
Yeah, you got to have the tradesmen to be able to pull all this stuff together. That's certainly part of the challenge, and it's something we've experienced, you know, with those fires out of the area too for the last few years. So at least that's something that's common and that we can all kind of anticipate and build into the the equations. KINS,
yeah.
News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson, Humboldt County Supervisor. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Mike, when you look at some of the different things that are going on, we've got the now discussion about McKinleyville considering incorporation. Okay, it's been a couple years. I guess it's time for that to happen again. We took a drive, I was driven, that's probably the more accurate thing, out through Fairhaven and Samoa, maybe a week or so ago, a day kind of like today. What is the status? What are you hearing about the development there? Is it continuing to happen? Has that been kind of put to the side? Yeah, there are some limited signs of construction and getting things ready there, but it's not an overwhelming inertia that's going on. What's going on with the DeFreyes and Johnson development out there?
Well, I would say that probably Supervisor Bass is a better person to ask than myself because it is in her district, but I will tell you that there is continuing effort to consolidate from a infrastructure perspective and to create a new community services district out there, and that's something that we proposed to put into the county budget to help move that along. And that's pretty important because there's an ocean outfall that could be used basically for a treated effluent, which it has in the past, and in terms of the development, both at in the town of Samoa, which is moving forward, and you've seen construction out there, and then there will be subdivision of the housing in order for sale. I think that's all really moving ahead. There is, of course, the plans that are in the current context moving forward for the aquaculture facility that people are talking about there. It's like, that $350 million project, and anything that big is going to have all sorts of associated businesses along with it, there's a lot of potential out on the peninsula, and there's a lot of people working on that, and it has been really a hub of entrepreneurialism, especially after as pushed by the Harbor District and then adopted by the county and approved by the Coastal Commission, which was the interim use permit, which basically allowed for non-coastal industrial businesses to be using that land for other industrial and commercial purposes, unless at some point some, large coastal industrial use comes along. But, that infrastructure really needs to be used. It needs to generate income to sustain the existing infrastructure that's there, utilities and otherwise. Otherwise, we would be just setting ourselves back so far. So again, it speaks to that diversity and flexibility that Humboldt County has had on a lot of levels with relationship to these businesses. And most of them are still happening out there, although they're all taking hits, just like everybody else in sort of the economic shrinkage that's occurring in the county, in the state, and worldwide.
Yeah,
we're again, that diversity has been very helpful to us. in the business sector.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. Information time, it's 8:44. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, there was a nice little feather in the cap for the Harbor District, getting some funding for some of their activities. Do you see that that has a chance to possibly ripple into the city so that the city side of Bay Development might kind of get a little bit of a kick in the pants, or you know, some of the other areas? Or do you think that we're just going to be able to take care of this, that one project, and then we'll sit and wait for other stuff?
Well, I mean, I think it's just part of a continuum. I mean, you know, it's a float call boat situation. When the district gets money like that, which is in a series, I mean, you have to remember, you know, the district received almost $10 million in aid to clean up the pulp mill, you know, back, and that was, again, back in the last crash, if you can't remember, right? You know,
right.
Under a time when everything was in complete disarray and completely exploding, somehow we were able to, you know, at the time, and I was on the Harbor District, to work with the Coast Guard and the EPA to get, you know, almost $10 million to remove 4 million gallons of toxic sludge off that site. So this is a continuum of that, and I would say that, you know, the impact to the city is positive, and that just keeps positive momentum going. And I would say the same when the city gets funds for its development on its side, it's positive. Everyone's on the same team. I mean, in my dozen years working on those issues around the Bay, I would say I have not seen much, or if any, real competition per se, as much as everybody helping each other and understanding that positivity is a regional thing and not a job, you know, not a project specific item. So the district did receive some money, like you're saying, some hundreds of thousands of dollars, I believe it's from the EPA, to continue cleanup work at the former pulp mill site, the Terminal 1 site and Terminal 2. And that's going to help clean up the areas where the Timber Heritage folks have their stuff out there, which you can imagine have some contamination issues. Those old buildings where, you know, locomotives were cleaned and things like that. And so a lot of nasties in that space in terms of, you know, lead paint, that sort of thing. But then also the old pulp mill site. So, I mean, these industrial areas in general are you know, in need of cleaning up, and which is why you're finding a broad range of support from environmental groups to, our more industrial and Chamber of Commerce is coming together to, you know, work to redevelop those spaces because it does mean cleanup and it does mean jobs. And in the current context and under the current, you know, paradigm of environmental laws, that means these jobs are clean and beneficial to the community. So I think everyone's on board with that. So that's good. As we move forward, I'm hoping people are going to stay safe and remember to, just kind of transitioning here, you know, if people are planning on traveling either into the area or out of the area, understanding that our biggest risk currently related to COVID has to do with travel. Humboldt County is like an island in regard, we barge in our fuel. Our numbers that are relatively low right now are relatively low because of our geography and isolation. But as we open up travel in all directions, as the state is starting to do that, we should be extra careful. because that's where our risk factors are really going to increase. And I would also advise people not to be making travel plans that they can't get refunds for, because we're either locally or in other places you may travel to, there will be flare-ups. There will be closures. We're already seeing that happen in Florida and in Texas, where we're seeing some closures even weeks after opening because of increases in COVID. So I want people to, be aware, be situationally aware, and stay safe and careful.
We've got about a minute and a half to go here. Is there any kind of an update with those offshore wind turbines and some of the studies and the preliminary work that is needed for that to kind of get off the ground also?
I don't have an update per se, other than I know everyone's chugging along working on it, and I haven't heard of any sort of COVID-related problems or setbacks in regards to that. I think that sort of long-term projects are looking beyond, the current situation. They know we're going to need clean energy. They know that climate change is still an issue, even though, we've got the COVID issue and the social justice issues that are occurring right now are bubbling to the surface. They've always been there. And these other things that are kind of at the top, but, climate change is, we're still moving in the wrong direction in terms of that, and we're still going to need energy to survive as a species. The long game is to build more fossil fuel-free energy, and that project is definitely moving forward.
Well, good deal. Now we can move forward with our day also. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Thanks for having me in this virtual universe.
Yeah, yeah. Look forward to seeing you here in the studio shortly.
All right. Look forward to sharing a bubbly water with you in the future.
There you go, Mike. Thanks, bud. See everybody tomorrow.
Talk to you later.